You know an airplane has earned its reputation when the Pentagon has tried to kill it more times than the enemy has. I'm Tower, and this is ATs on Radio Hangar, the A-10 Thunderbolt II. You probably know it as the Warthog. The Air Force has been trying to retire this jet since the early 1990s. That's more than three decades of farewell tours that never actually end. And just when it looked like 2030 might finally be the year they wheel the last one into the boneyard, someone had an idea. What if the airplane we built to destroy Soviet tanks could destroy something else instead? Drones. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. All right, let's talk about why this ugly, slow, titanium bathtub-wearing ground pounder is suddenly relevant in a completely new way. The A-10 entered service in 1977. Fairchild Republic designed it around a single weapon, the GAUA Avenger, a 30mm 7-barrel rotary cannon that fires nearly 4,000 rounds per minute. The airplane was literally built around the gun, not the other way around. The gun is so large that if you stood it on end, it would be taller than a Volkswagen Beetle. The entire airframe, the twin engines mounted high on the rear fuselage, the straight wings, the redundant flight controls, all of it exists to deliver that cannon and a whole lot of ordnance to the battlefield at low altitude. It was designed for one mission. Kill Soviet armor rolling through the Fulda Gap in West Germany. That was the Cold War nightmare scenario. Thousands of Warsaw Pact tanks pouring through the gap and into Western Europe. The A-10 was the airplane that would slow them down long enough for reinforcements to arrive. The pilots who trained for that mission knew the survival odds were not great. Fly low, shoot tanks, try to make it home in an airplane that could absorb incredible punishment. The designers gave it manual reversion flight controls, redundant hydraulic systems, self-sealing fuel tanks, and a titanium bathtub around the cockpit that could take hits from 23mm anti-aircraft rounds. The landing gear doesn't even fully retract. It sticks out so that if the hydraulics fail, the pilot can still belly land on a damaged runway. So why has the Air Force wanted to retire it for so long? Here's what you need to know. The Air Force has always seen itself as a high-tech, high-altitude force. Fast jets. Stealth. Precision-guided munitions drop from 30,000 feet. The A-10 is none of those things. It's slow. Its top speed is around 380 knots, which is slower than some turboprops on a good day. It's not stealthy. It has the radar cross-section of a flying barn. And it requires the pilot to get down in the weeds close to the threat, which in a modern battlefield full of advanced surface-to-air missiles is a very dangerous place to be. The Air Force has argued repeatedly that the F-35 Lightning II can do the close air support mission, that the days of a dedicated ground attack platform are over, that modern guided weapons make low-altitude gun runs obsolete. And there's some truth to that. The battlefield has changed. But every time the retirement paperwork gets filed, something happens. The A-10 gets called back to work. It happened in Desert Storm. It happened in Afghanistan. It happened in Iraq. Every time American ground troops needed close air support, real close air support where the pilot can see the friendlies and see the enemy and put rounds exactly where they need to go, the A-10 delivered. The airplane has a loiter time that fast jets can't match. It can hang around the battlefield for hours. It can fly low enough and slow enough to visually identify targets. And that cannon. When you're a ground soldier and you hear that sound, that distinctive bird of the GAUS-8, you know help has arrived. The troops love this airplane, and that's been the political problem the Air Force has faced every time it tries to retire the fleet. Congress keeps saying no. But here's where the story takes a genuinely interesting turn. The modern battlefield has a new threat that nobody fully anticipated even 10 years ago. Small, cheap, unmanned aerial systems. Drones. We've seen it in the conflict in Ukraine. We've seen it in the Middle East. Small commercial-grade drones modified to carry grenades or small explosive charges. Larger loitering munitions that circle an area waiting for a target. First-person view racing drones rigged as kamikaze weapons. These things cost a few hundred to a few thousand dollars each, and they are changing the way wars are fought at the tactical level. Now here's the problem. How do you shoot down a drone that costs $500? You don't want to fire a missile that costs $2 million at it. That math doesn't work. And fast jets like the F-35 aren't optimized for hunting small, slow-moving targets at low altitude. They're designed to fight other fast jets and strike hardened targets. Asking an F-35 to chase a quadcopter is like asking a Formula One car to herd sheep. It can technically move in the right direction, but it's not the right tool. The A-10, on the other hand, is slow. It flies low, it has incredible loiter time. It has a massive cannon that throws a wall of 30mm shells. And it has a pilot sitting under a bubble canopy with excellent visibility in every direction. If you're looking for an airplane that can patrol an area, find small aerial targets, and destroy them efficiently, the Warthog suddenly makes a lot of sense. The headline doesn't tell the whole story here. This isn't just about one airplane finding a new job. This is about a fundamental shift in what air superiority means. For decades, air superiority meant controlling the skies above 20,000 feet, shooting down enemy fighters, suppressing surface-to-air missile sites. The high-altitude game. But drones have created a new contested zone, low altitude, below 1,000 feet, sometimes below 100 feet. And that's exactly where the A-10 was designed to operate. There's been discussion about upgrading the A-10 fleet with new sensors and targeting systems optimized for detecting small unmanned aircraft. The airframe itself has plenty of life left. These jets were overbuilt. Some of them have been re-winged and can fly for decades more. The avionics have been upgraded multiple times. The latest versions carry precision-guided munitions, targeting pods, and modern communications gear alongside that original cannon. This affects you if you think about how the airspace is evolving. For general aviation pilots, the drone threat might seem like a military problem, but the technology filters down. The same counter-drone detection systems being developed for the battlefield will eventually influence how we manage drones in civilian airspace. The sensor technology, the tracking algorithms, the rules of engagement for unmanned aircraft near airports and populated areas. The military is working through these problems in combat right now, and those lessons will shape the regulatory framework that the Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, applies to domestic drone operations in the years ahead. There's also a broader lesson here about assuming you know what an airplane is for. The A-10 was designed to kill tanks, full stop. Nobody in 1977 imagined it hunting drones, but the characteristics that made it good at one mission, the low speed, the loiter time, the durability, the massive firepower, the pilot's ability to visually acquire targets, those same characteristics make it surprisingly well-suited for a completely different mission 50 years later. Aviation history is full of these stories. The DC-3 was designed as an airliner and became the most important military transport of World War II. The U-2 was designed as a reconnaissance platform and is still flying intelligence missions 70 years later. The B-52 first flew in 1952 and is expected to serve until the 2050s. 100-year service life. Some airplanes just refuse to become obsolete because their fundamental design is so sound that new missions keep finding them. The A-10 is proving to be one of those airplanes. The Pentagon's latest timeline still has the fleet drawing down toward 2030, but the pace has slowed. Units that were scheduled to transition to other aircraft are holding onto their Warthogs longer. The counter-drone mission is giving advocates new ammunition, no pun intended, to argue for keeping the jet around. And let's be honest, there's something satisfying about an airplane that the bureaucracy has tried to kill for 30-plus years, and it just keeps flying. The Warthog was built to survive. Turns out that applies to budget fights too. Sources today from Simple Flying, with background from Air Force reporting and defense analysis. More at radiohanger.com. I'm Tower. Fly safe out there.